good enough for me.
Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion.
Oh, give me that.
Give me that old time religion.
Is good enough for me.
It was. Ah, thank you. Hallelujah. I'm washing my time. Before I proceed, I want to appreciate the servant of God, the apostle, Apostle Arami Osai. I met the wife here for the first time. And what a wonderful mama. Mark Cody, Benue State, you are blessed. Hallelujah. What you have with you here, I met him 3 years ago. But not physically, on Facebook. Praise the Lord. And it took me almost 3 years to see him physically. And part of my journey, he has contributed immensely. I don't think he will be able to understand and know the depth of his contribution that brings me to where I am. I envy you. Amen. If it's possible, I will pull him away. Hallelujah. Servant of God, you have blessed us so much, so many of you. I don't know much of your name now, but I honor you, I respect you. Your life has blessed me, your word, for the past 4 days. It's been tremendous. The Lord bless you. And the ministry, hallelujah, the leadership of this church. Amen. Take your seat. I will be bringing to us more of my experience in this journey as we go into the Word of God. I will be leaning more on my failings in ministry and my breakthrough if what I have can be described as that in a way. But I'll be leaning more on the failings, on the challenges, hoping and believing that the Holy Ghost will bring this ministration to change somebody's life and ministry this morning in the name of Jesus. My story is much, but the Holy Ghost will lead me to take what is necessary this morning. I did not come willingly to do what I'm doing now. It's a result of a challenge that the family experienced at the time. And I was doing my NYC in NNPC Lagos. I think that is, yeah, 1996 or 97 in Lagos. And this challenge came upon the family. I was in Redeemed Christian Church where I gave my life to Christ. After investing, my father is a pastor, but that is when I gave my life to Christ. And I stood before God and said, if you solve this problem for me, I will serve you. I just make that simple vow. And God solved it, to my surprise. He kept the end of his bargain. But I thought he has forgotten. So, after my service, I joined the banking system, Standard Trust Bank to be precise. I was brought to Abuja. And then after a time, I was transferred to Lokoja. I met my spiritual father then, Archbishop Samamaga, in Lagos. I recommitted to ministry, serving God. But after joining the back, I continued as a supporter of ministry, a servant of God in ministry, became a deacon, was ordained a pastor, became an associate pastor. It's more of a story like I tell you. So, I thought that would be okay. And God opened door for me in the banking sector, especially in Lokoja, strange place. Baba brought me to wealth. Yes, can say that. Beyond my then expectation, I set up several businesses, finance houses. Let me just name a few. And then, about 10 years ago, he came. And he placed it in my mind at this time. And that was the time I was enjoying my banking work. I've already grown to become a regional manager. What I told Tony Elumelu on my interview table is that I want to be MD. He said in 5 years, I said, it's your position. So I have ambition. And part of my ambition is to even bring me into politics and become a governor, yes. My mate in the University of Ibadan then will tell you that I will end up in politics. I was a radical student on campus, and I led many troubles. But now God came for me, suddenly. And that is why I'm here today. So with my experience from my first ministry that I joined and what my spiritual father taught me and the various things I have seen and God have used me to do as associate pastor, planting churches, gave me an area, ordained me a reverend pastor because they have given me an area to preside over, even as a banker. I thought I've known enough. So I couldn't deny the promise I made to God. I quickly convinced Mama. By the way, I came with my wife. Sorry. I was eager to share it for you. Hallelujah. Pastor Faith Maha. She's part of this journey. Hallelujah. By next week, Wednesday, we'll be 20 years in marriage. Blessed with 5 children. Thank God for her understanding. It's not easy for you to just cut people off like that and shift to this place. So my story starts from there. I came into ministry loaded with my idea of what I'm going to do for God. And loaded with my money. I was already planning. He has invited me. So let's go. With what I was seeing, my experience, and my perception of ministry, no consultation any longer with the Holy Ghost. I'll just pray and do what I think I need to do. I'll just pray. Sometimes I won't even pray. I know it already. So I just do it. So I came with this attitude. To my shock, from one to another, it was different from what I was seeing before and what I thought. The response I was getting wasn't what I expected. I remember in those days, we would start deliverance work from morning, maybe 9 o'clock, and we'd be doing deliverance till evening. And when we finish delivering all these young people, they'll go back again to their sin. All to come back again with more serious demons. I have everything planned out. At the time, I took about a few millions and I shared to people I perceived needed money so that they can grow quickly and make it. So I shared the money to them. I told them, this money, you don't pay interest. It will be with you. Actually, I've given them from my heart. But I wanted them to be serious. So I said, it will be with you for like a year. And after 1 year, you pay back, then we can give you again, and then we give others. All of them ran away. Except one. Only one remained today. Even that one did not pay back anything. I even dare not bring it up. Everything I have experimented failed. Remember, underline that word, experimented. Ministry is not an experiment. I brought into spiritual entity my idea from physical world, my human knowledge. I'll return and I'll ask the Holy Ghost, what is this? Is it what you brought me to do? It's not yet finished. Then, with all this confusion, at the early time of our ministry, we got invaded by fake prophets and pastors. A pastor friend invited me to minister in Jos, and I met this great, in quotes, servant of God there, came with fantastic story of how God delivered him from the kingdom of darkness, and the story was striking and dramatic and all that. And we got to know and all that. And I told the servant of God, he need to come to Lokoja and tell this story to our people. Maybe that will wake them the more. So we arranged, and he came, and the story started. He put us together and invited us into his network of international pastors, because he traveled around the world. I won't call his name, of course. So he told us that he's going to expose us to international ministry. I never even do the one I started. International ministry. And he quickly organized for me a pastor from South Africa, another one from Ghana, and then lined them up for me. Hello, I'm Elena. You know, I've tried, I've been experimenting, it's not working, so I should be able to open up to senior people. So we welcome these people one by one, and they brought their shenanigans. They brought all manner of rubbish. And the point is that I was weak in the spirit. In fact, I wasn't working with the Holy Ghost. So I couldn't even tell them to stop. The one from Ghana brought egg, sweet, and all that into the church. And he's putting it on women to get pregnant. I tapped mommy. I said, what is this? I didn't learn it from where I'm coming from. I was almost over 20 years as a associate pastor. So I have experience. I know what good ministry is to some extent. But this one took me by surprise. I couldn't stop him. If it's now, I'll just collect the microphone and tell him to go. But then I like such courage. So I allow him to do all the rubbish. And you know what? The members were sneaking behind me to his hotel room, and they were giving him all manner of things, clothes, things that they have never given me before. Generator, this, that, they were giving him. When I started hearing, I was shocked. I said, so these people have these things. I told you I came into ministry with my style. In fact, because of the fact that people are thinking that all pastors are thief, I hardly want to tell people to give. Hello, I'll just tell you by the afro. Tell, I had money then. So I want to do everything. So I don't want people to think that it's their money that I came for. So I wasn't even telling them to give. But suddenly, these people were giving this fake prophet from Ghana. Let's leave that story. Then the South African owned come, and he came with another angle. And then another one or two. I don't want to bug you further. But we got shocked. some of the people in the church ran away because of fake prophets that came, and I told them they are fake. They ran away. So I got confused. I gave them money. They ran away. I brought pastors after my own heart to bless them. The pastor turned fake. They ran away. I gave houses to some. They ran away. Everything that you think pastor would do out of love, of congregation, I was doing it, but this was not keeping them. It did not stop there. In the midst of this, the gate of hell was open. Attack came like a flood upon us. Only God saved me. Till that period, everything I have was safe. First was the finance house. A company of over $1 billion, 350 staff. Within a month to 2 months, armed robber attacked us 3 times or 4 times. And because of this attack, the public turned on the microfinance bank and ran on it to 17 branches. And bank is not designed for withdrawal alone. It's designed for both what? Deposit and withdrawal. So when that happened, I have to pull my own money saved in other banks in order to save the bank, because these are my people. Anybody whose money is talked to knows my fathers. So I have to start sending money to settle this, so that empty me from my savings. So the bank is going down, the savings gone. As that was happening, I had about 250 cows that I kept in the village with Fulani. The Fulani cattle rustler came and took the entire cow away. When they took the cow, the police that I called to help were also extorting me. They couldn't do it. I tried to bring the army. The army took a lot of money, but they say they have gone. So even that too went down. As I'm speaking, attack came on my twins. I was in Porakot to attend my father's program. The twins, the last children that we had, they were seriously attacked by the devil. And as I was sitting down in the program, Mama called and said that it's serious. That is like they are not even breathing. And I went out and I told her, I said, when you leave the hospital, let me know. At least I have enough to still tell the devil that there is what? A limit. But these are the kind of attacks that were coming. My land, I have choice land in Lekki. I have some in Abuja. I have lands in Lokoja. All came under attack. The one in Lokoja was serious. I engaged lawyers and I was paying them to fight this battle. At the time, I just threw my hand like this, lift it. That, as that one is going on, then there is another problem within. The pastor that came to join our ministry at that time, about 15 of them, all came from other ministry. And like Apostle was preaching to us some days past, they came as mixed multitude. They came with their own style. When I saw that these things was not working, the experiment is failing, and I am now under siege, attack was too much. I've lost almost everything that I saved. Even the $1 billion investment in Lokoja Estate, the estate is still there, 160 house. I've not been able to pull out of it. It's there in the bush. I met the state governor and I said, I'll give this house to, we agreed. But this new governor that is going came and sacked the entire people, and then problem came in. That one failed. So everything was failing. The internal war was another one. Among these 15 pastors, two of them have I call it divination, prophet grace. A prophetic grace. Divination, prophetic grace. One of them, after one of the prayers, told us that he saw that the devil have taken off all of them. That the devil attacked them one by one and took them off. That is the pastors. I don't want to go into details, just to tell you how this war was all around me in ministry. And after that prophecy, fear entered me. I said, what kind of thing is this? You mean all of you one by one? Okay. I jacked back and I started talking with the Holy Ghost. What is this? And the Holy Spirit told me, you are doing your work with me. Look at it. Somebody employed you and gave you a building to build. The moment he gave you the building to build, and you did not even ask for the plan, you did not ask any, you start building the house as you want. What will you do if you are the boss? Me, as a trained corporate person, I'll fire you. So me, I'm supposed to fire myself. I don't even know why God was able to keep me till this day. He should have fired me immediately because I wasn't building according to the pattern he gave me. I was just doing it with my preconceived. So he took me into the Bible and showed me from what Jesus said in Matthew. I will build my church and the gate of hell shall not prevail. And the Holy Ghost began to show me some things. I said, no, these things, I'm doing it wrongly. If it's a building, then there must be a plan. And if there is a plan, and even some plan, you need to ask the owner of the house to explain certain things to you. You can't just go on like that. Then, it also took me to the word of Jesus. When he was speaking to the apostle and he said, if any man desire to build, he must first sit down and count the cost. I did not count the cost of this project that I came in. I just came in thinking, I'll do like this, I'll do like this, I'll do like this, and I'll get like this, I'll get like this, I'll go like this, and I'll be like an apostle. After all, there is money to back it up. I just started from local church. I've told the pastors, I'm going to build branches for them. Quickly, sir, if I posted one to Ayimba, I have a property there. What just did he say? Equipment, I'll buy it. Because like I told you, I'm a very ambitious person before. God just arrested me. So I was on my journey to take the governorship. So I know that I need money. Isn't it? And the bank has trained me in financial engineering. So I know where money is and how to go after it in the world. Except I did not pin you down as a marketer in the bank. Give me time, you will bring all your money. From Lokoja, my colleagues in the bank, some of them will be listening to me as I'm saying, I was the best. One of the best, let's use that one. One of the best in marketing. With award, with everything. So I came in with confidence that I can do this thing. And it must work. Is it not to manage people? All failed. When God showed me this, the building, Revelation, I said, the problem is because I did not really sit down to check the cost. And Jesus, in his, I won't be able to go into this thing because of delay. I have time limit. I'll just give you a story. You know the Bible. This place is full of Bible. There's nothing you don't know here. Praise the Lord. Then Jesus, in bringing the teaching on the course to the apostle at a particular time. He met a man who the Bible said is rich in possession. And this man came and knelt down before Jesus and said, "Thou good master, what shall I do to inherit the kingdom?" And Jesus said, "The commandment. Follow the commandment." And Jesus listed the commandment. And the man said, "I have done all those things." And Jesus looked at him again. And the Bible said, he loved him. When the statement, "he loved him," came up. Is it up? Okay. He loved him. The statement that Jesus made after he loved him was the one that surprised me. He loved him to the point that he told him, "Go and sell everything you have. Give it to the... and then come and follow me." So he loved him to poverty. The Bible said this caused uproar among the disciples. And they began to ask, if it's like this, who will be saved? Because Jesus himself said, it is difficult for the rich man to enter heaven. It's even much more difficult than a camel passing through the eye of a needle. So all the uproar also got to the apostle and trust Peter. He stepped forward. He said, maybe this man recruited us into poverty. He said, "Jesus, wait. We have left all. We left everything to follow you. It's like, what is in it for us? Let's discuss this thing before we go further." And Jesus, to my surprise again, turned to him and said, "If you leave father, if you leave mother, if you leave land, if you leave wife, if you leave children, if you leave whatever you leave," he said, "in this world you have what? 100-fold with tribulation and the world to come." So I said, so it's not actually leading them into poverty. It's leading them into riches. So what is this thing talking about? And that ministered to me. I was rich towards the world, not towards God. My heart was lifted. So I came into ministry believing in what I can do, not what the Holy Ghost can do. And so many people, maybe because of anointing or whatever, you may have that mind. Please drop it. Experiment will not work. I'm giving you direct advice. It doesn't work. Jesus, I wish the man waited, because the Bible said the man was and left. He was angry and left. And Jesus said, So the man loved Jesus to the point that he wanted to give him the best riches in the world, turning him to himself. And do you know the name of the man is not in the Bible? The description was just a man that is rich in possession. If he took the next step in trusting Jesus, his name would have been planted among the apostles. Because the same way Jesus called Peter is the same way he called him. He said, "Come, then follow me." The other general disciples were not given individual call. They just come to follow. But this man, the Bible says Jesus what? Loved him. I don't know any disciple that Jesus looked at and loved before calling them. Even John, the beloved, is in the process of their relationship that they love. Develop. I never see in the Bible he looked at John and he loved him. But this rich man, the Bible said, Jesus looked at him and loved him. And his riches could not allow him to follow Jesus. Who is being held back among us this morning because of riches to the world? This opened me up to a new chapter that makes me start to become sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I've given up on the wealth already. I've accepted my fate. I now sat down. I said, from now on, "Mommy, let's do this ministry. We are not traveling anywhere. Nobody is coming to this church. And I'm not going anywhere." And we grounded ourselves with the church. And the Holy Ghost told me, in my spirit, "Raise people. Teach them. Teach them. Raise them from among the people I'm bringing to you. Stop looking out." I came to the church and I announced the birth of Faith Bill Bible Institute. I quickly put all structures for teaching. I changed and I announced in the church, no more deliverance. I'm not going to deliver anybody who will be coming back with demons. No deliverance. No deliverance. No wonder, Papa, I won't call his name, in that ministry, big ministry, they don't do deliverance. They'll only tell you, they'll give you Bible verse to read. I'm not saying deliverance is bad. Even now, I do it. Hello. But I said I am no longer going to follow this approach. If they will not come because of, after all, the ones that came because of deliverance, where are they? So I sat down and God started sending people gradually. And we cut off. No traveling, no nothing. In fact, when we're in the hotel, mommy said, this is our first vacation for about 7. In fact, we have never really gone on vacation before. Even when I was in the bank, I was entangled so much with my banking and the businesses I have established that I don't travel anywhere. I schooled in Ibadan, so I know how to go abroad. My friends, 90% of them are all over the world. They've been calling me, and I have the money. But I couldn't really even take myself. So mommy has never traveled anywhere. Praise the Lord. That's it. So we travel here. Thank you, sir. It's our vacation. And early this morning, mommy woke me up. He said, that ulcer, you know, there is an ulcer that refused my own anointing. She was healed. I don't know who ministered about 3 days ago. Before yesterday. The ulcer is gone. He said she's been waiting because she got the drugs on the road. I've been eyeing that ulcer. With all this anointing for healing, you know, work for mommy. I don't know how this thing is. Praise the Lord. But thank God. It's our testimony. Number two. Vacation. Healing. And me, in almost 8 years, this is the altar that I step on. Hello. Except my altar. The international connection that the man with fake was thinking he will give me and carry me over to finish my money, which the Lord has taken. This platform is international. Where am I not located? Just wait on God. Do what he says. And he will bring you into his own economy in a way and manner that he has enshrined for you. This continue until the last convention. And that is where Apostle comes in. I told you I met him 3 years ago, but on Facebook. We only met about 6 months ago, physically once. April. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. And thank you for everything. Amen. 3 years ago, in the midst of this war and in the midst of this confusion, no, I told you I have cut off. I have a father in the Lord. Some of you were asking, where is his father in the Lord? I have. But I went and picked a very big one. I told you. My father in the Lord is very big. If I call his name, the whole world knows. Hello. I can't call him. I think I've met him about 4 or 5 times. And I have to come if I call the town. Yes. If I call the town, you will know him. But I won't call the town. I don't want my father to. I know this is everywhere. So, there is no, that access is not there. And this is a man that God has shown me doing things with him in the spirit that I have already adjourned. It's okay. Hello. But the first decision to go to him, like I told you, is mine. If I have to do this thing, I have to do it big. But in going to him, God helped me. He's a very lovely man. My father in the Lord is, I understand protocol. I am heavy on protocol. I will hardly break protocol, except I don't know. Let me give you an example. My father in the Lord, After the second meeting, call us. That's the second meeting to teach us and tell us some certain things. So as a group, because it's very big, it's like this. So I was in the congregation. And he picked me out and he gave me a mantle. And suddenly he said, I'll come to Lokoja, go and organize a crusade for me. And he called the PA. He said, PA, give him my direct number. And they called me. When you have done the work, let me know. Hello, I left that place to Lokoja. I went straight to the deputy governor. Met with him, the current deputy governor. I said, my father is coming to town. And what can you do for us? He said, I'll give you stadium free. I'll give you the whole police station, police that you need, the security. Is there any other thing you need? Let me know. But give me the date. So I got the report. Till I'm telling you, I couldn't give my father in the Lord. The PA did not give me the phone number. I called him for 2 years. He didn't pick. I sent messages. I actually got my father's phone number from another person. But I refused to call him. He didn't give me. If he didn't give me, I won't call him. That is breaking the process. So I told the Holy Ghost, if I call his name, you will know that his crusade is over 100 million. He said, don't worry about the money. I'll spend about 100 million or thereabout, but don't worry. You just go and do the whole thing. So I told the Holy Ghost, by then, during this period of meeting some of your teaching, and I told the Holy Ghost, I said, if this is coming here, is now that my eye is on that thing because it's big and it's coming to come and pack people and give me, maybe that is what I'm thinking. Holy Ghost, don't allow it to happen. And I am not going to bring this issue up again. To the point that when I met my father in the Lord 2 years after, I didn't tell him anything about that issue. Till today. If it's not the Holy Ghost that they do lead people to do crusade and all that, do we not work for God? Hey, if God wants him to come, let God what? Tell him. If he refuses to tell him, the answer is that he's not supposed to come to Lokoja. And that is how it is. So I am heavy on protocol. So every time I have issue, every time I am in a strait, every time I am distressed and I open Facebook, the first it popped up. And the Holy Ghost allowed me to dwell on his teaching. And I went and started looking for... Then suddenly, it became a crazy thing. If I have issue, and I go on Facebook, the message apostle will be preaching is exactly what will bless my life. I told mommy, I said, this one is crazy. If the Holy Ghost give me any topic, and I'm on Facebook. Guess what you'll be teaching? Hey, I'll come to the altar. I have preached many of you. Thank you, sir. This continue until close to about some months to our convention, I asked the Holy Spirit. I was the one that asked the Holy Spirit, this is the servant of God I want for this convention. And suddenly I said that peace came upon me. I said, peace is an answer, yes. At least I have started getting used to the Holy Spirit and to know when he gives me note. So I came to the church and I told the pastors, in our next convention, Apostle Aaron Osai will be our guest minister. They were excited first. Then they asked, Daddy, have you contacted him? I said, no. Do any of you have? And I saw the worry. And one of them said, Daddy, you know, he will browse you and the ministry. Is that the word you say? He will browse you and the ministry. When he said that, I said, that is better. Hello. If he's going to be on the basis of Holy Spirit, then we have a chance. I got to know that he's an Igala man, but I don't think the kinsman power has anything that will connect me to him. Sam is a zero. And he confirmed it when he came to Lokoja. That he has made up his mind not to even come to that land for certain experience. So I announced to the leaders too. I went further because I have started and I don't go back.
that this is the servant of God that will come. The same question was raised. And I told them, not yet, but he will come. I did not sit. I told the pastors, I said, we are going to rumble in the Holy Spirit. There's a program that God has made me to start instituting in the church. One of them is called Camp of Fire. Camp of Fire is a 3-day dry fasting where we prayed and remain in the church, all of us. So I called the pastor. I said, call Camp of Fire for Apostle Arome Osai. And we met Camp of Fire, especially there is a one that we pray for 72 hours. And there are some we pray 7 hours. You know where I got the 7 hours from, of course. But I took it further a bit because this is now a war. I have placed my grace on it and I said it's come, it will come. What if it did not come? How would my minister even believe in me? So I stake my head in it with anointing. So we went on 72 hours non-stop prayer with fasting. No water, no food, no nothing. And after the third day, I told them, he will come. You know, I receive all manner of talk from people. You can't get him. It's not possible. You know, they told me several things just to discourage me. The more they tell me, the more I dwell on the Holy Ghost. And I am prepared. So before I came to Abuja, where I met you, I was Holy Ghost prepared for a Holy Ghost showdown. And God located me. My time is running. God located me before him. I have to tell you this because that will crescendo into what I will finally pronounce as my own way of breaking through ministry. So I sat before him like somebody who is taking a WAEC or very serious interview before they can give you final result. He did not know what was going on in my mind. I was praying in tongues under my breath and I was looking at him and I told him direct, I'm a very direct person. We have a convention in September between 1st and 3rd, and I want you to come and bless us. And then he sat back. The moment he sat back and looked at me, I said, the browsing has started. He leaned forward, stared at me, and said, I've decided not to come that axis. For some certain reason. It's when it came to local that he gave me the reason. But when I heard but, I know there is something. Because of you, I'll come. He was about to check the date and called Philip. Say, because we couldn't really know his timing. Do you know he's a worldwide player? I don't need to tell you who he is now. Hello, everybody knows that he traveled. I followed him and I monitor him like a monitoring spirit. So, what if my time did not fall into the time that he's free? But he gave that word and I held on to it. So, Philip came, checked through and said, you have to call me next week because I need to check. So, I added Philip to the prayer. Remember, Philip is a peer. And I have experience. I added him. I said, Philip is his name. Praise the Lord. Holy Ghost caught him. Holy Ghost brought him for us. It did not finish then. The 3 days is hard now to get from apostle or somebody you didn't even know and come into a village, Lokoja. Hello, it's not. In fact, if he agreed to come to Lokoja, he will be on the road from here for 6 hours. So coming is a lot of sacrifice. Even me coming is, if not for bono or seriousness of meeting, to stay in vehicle 6 hours. Now, hello, we don't have airport. I won't travel to Lagos without flight. So I expect Apostle to now drive. If he opted for the other route, He will have to deploy angel to take care of kidnappers before he can escape the bad road. If he takes Abuja, that will be 6 hours plus. And that is what I'm demanding of an international minister. Is that a little thing? You will not know the depth, because at least by my a little training, I understand. I look at things and I understand everything that he must sacrifice to come to us. And then I'm asking for 3 days. Philip told me that is not possible. He did his hand like this. You can have 1 day. I smile. I said, this guy doesn't know. I went back. I gave his name. And I sent the design of the program from day one to day three. I sent it to him. He didn't return it to me. He did like this. I showed it to the pastor. I showed it to the pastor. I said, see, he did like this. That means we are good to go. When they were coming, Pastor Philip, the other pastor, Reverend Philip, the one that came with Apostle, when we're discussing about the dates and that Apostle stayed, said, no. If he tries Saturday, I said, confess. To cut the story short, Apostle came and stayed till Sunday. Reinaugurated our ministry. You will not know the depth of what you have done for me and our ministry till you enter heaven, because there is no time to tell you everything. You have helped a brother. May the Lord bless you, sir. As I round up, I came with so much Bible verses. Thank God I didn't attempt. I will not be able to bring this, my story, to this position. So, I had a clear understanding of what Jesus meant when he said, I will build my church. Then the gate of hell. That gate of hell means, he said, you will not prevail. The mere fact that the gate of hell will not prevail means that there will be war. Because before prevailing comes, there should be something, isn't it? And that means when you enter ministry, you are starting a battle. The promise is that the gate of hell will not prevail, not that there will be no battle. So when the floodgate was opened against me and took to the level that he took me to because of my own doing, he taught me a lesson. That the hand of God, despite my weaknesses, I don't even know why he kept me till he kept, when I got the understanding of all these things. Why did God keep? Because I will not keep an employee like that. I will fire you. He didn't fire me. He didn't sack me. The wealth that was taken away is because he loved me and wanted my attention and wants to take me off this rubbish so that I can focus on him. He also wants me to lead his people to him, not to me and to wealth. He wants them to honor him, not to honor my credits. And I got to know all these things by the help of the Holy Ghost, expounded by apostles. Deeply. Anytime I take the word, I go into the Bible, and then it's like, if I start giving you some revelation that God has given me based on what I took from you, we will not leave you. I don't have that time. But you are primary. Anytime he's ministering, you see that I'll carry my iPad. I hear more than he says. I just need to hear some words, and then the whole connection from Genesis to Revelation, it will just pop up like that, pop, 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 pop. And then when I put it together and I am ministering, it's wow. Do you know now, if I am preaching and I am speaking in tongue, one of my pastors told me, I can interpret what you are saying. Why? I taught them and took them into the Holy Spirit. They start understanding the depth of the Holy Ghost. So my summation this morning is on the Holy Spirit. There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There are three that bear witness on earth: the blood, the water, and the spirit. In the two places, Holy Ghost is a witness. How can you do without him? How can? When Jesus was on earth and taught the apostles, he even sent them on teaching practice, giving them power. But when he was leaving, he said, don't go out. Don't step out of this place. Go and remain in the upper room. And I will send you the promise of the Father. When he comes, he will lead you into all truth. So the Holy Ghost is our leader in ministry. Most of us are in this ministry leading ourselves. Most of us are in this ministry leading people to us. But the Holy Ghost is the man of the hour, the God of the hour. And nobody can succeed outside him. But you are very lucky. You have him. I'm just here to give you my experience for some of you that maybe come from somewhere. The Holy Spirit. Whenever we are in ministry, as a roundup, I want to bring this Bible reading so that to not be total. Amen. John chapter 6, verse 12 to 16. Okay. That's not even the one. Let's jump. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 to 4. You know, I've not been following this. According as his divine power had given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Underline the word glory and virtue. That by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. He has taught us on corruption heavily. But what I want us to focus here is that he has called us unto glory and virtue. When I entered ministry, I was focusing on the glory. I was heavy on the glory. I'll do like this, and remember I'll come like this, and then we'll be like this, and then we'll do like this, and then I'll travel, and then I'll do like this. In that place, the call is unto glory and virtue. What is virtue? What is virtue? Virtue is the character trait of righteousness. Character trait of righteousness. That is virtue. So we can't do these things without the character trait of righteousness. If you are going for glory, also go for character trait of righteousness. And I checked further and I saw that in the ministry of Jesus, there was a time a woman with an issue of blood, 12 years, encountered him. Encountered him. And has to go through the pressing to touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus uttered this word: virtue have left me. What am I saying? Virtue is transferable. There may be other divinations of virtue. But the one I pick is the one that is mine. If virtue left Jesus, the virtue of Jesus will come upon you today as you go back to your ministry, as you do your ministry in the name of Jesus. There are two things I am believing God to rest upon you as you are living here. The anointing for acceptance. And the second is anointing for purity. One of the tools I use in ministry. When I discovered those pastors, how many of them, about 4 or 5 of them, went down because of women. One even impregnated the choir member. Then the other ones were involved in all manner of rubbish. And the devil was taking them out one by one. So when I saw this, and the report I was hearing from fellow pastors of sleeping with girls, even before coming here, a senior pastor called me. from Abuja, and he was telling me the same problem. He has to transfer his staff from one place to another because they are involved in women. And then one is in Port Harcourt doing crazy women stuff. And if you go on Facebook, the guy is major there. And I was hearing this thing. So those are the kind of things that I also saw coming up in my ministry. The first thing I dealt with, I said, if this kind of people can fall, then I am not a Superman. How can I permanently arrest this problem? And God gave me a way out. Covenant of purity. I came one day to the church, and after my preaching, I announced to the church. I said, I have a covenant to announce to the church that I am making on this altar. And the covenant is, any day, Holy Ghost, I am now working with him closely, Holy Ghost catch me on another woman, he should kill me there. I should not make it out alive. And the implication is that I will now go to where? Hell. And I say that, calling on God to be my witness and the Holy Ghost to be my witness and the blood of Jesus to be my witness. And I also call on every other saint looking at me and say, you are my witness. If I do this secretly anywhere, locking any door, may I not come out. So if you hear that I die in a place, find out if a woman is involved. And the church went cold. Some even have the temerity to ask me that, Daddy, must you do that? So I said, well, were you expecting me to fall? If not, if you are not expecting me to fall, what is it? Doing it. Because you are not expecting me to fall. I look at my pastor thinking they will join me. None agree to join me. That is when I know I have a problem. Nobody. They refuse to join me. And all of them were taken out. Today, my worry is no longer that. The devil even know that that cannot work again. Hello. That also give mommy rest of mind. Even if he see a woman sitting on my lap, he know nothing can. Because I will die. You think Holy Ghost does not kill? You think Holy Ghost does not kill? Holy Ghost is a killer. What happened before Peter, Ananias, and who killed those people? Thank you. I told the church, Holy Ghost can kill. But thank God. When I start raising this new brand of pastor, two of them are with me today, Kenneth and Daniel. And I introduce the same covenant to them. They graciously accepted. And I line them up on the altar. And I administer the covenant of purity upon them. With a clear fear. Because the challenge we have is that we no longer fear God. Pastors are so used to the Holy Ghost and God that they don't fear God. But now, who won't try my God? If any of them want to be the first one to try, let them try. One of them we did during the convention, and the choir lined up and said, we also want to do covenant of purity. Before then, because of my experience, I don't allow choir people to stay behind me. At the time, I became so sensitive. After their covenant of purity, they can now come and we can minister together. Because I know you can't do your own and come and choir join. Not only choir, the entire teenager in the church filed in. I said, they also want to do, that one scared me. I said, well, this one's no. I explained to them. But one by one, they took covenant of what? Purity. To God be the glory. Today, I am lighter. I am more focused. I am so sensitive to the Holy Ghost. To the point that if I even do anything little, I can lose my peace for 3 days. I was in PhD class some months ago in Federal University. I'm doing my PhD there. So we're in class and I want to present my seminar. And while I was presenting my seminar that I really, really prepared for, one of the young classmates in his 30s just cut in and start challenging my theory. When he challenged my theory, I was infiltrated. My professor was sitting down. But his PhD class, we have some liberty. So I turned to him. And I said, young man. And I went cerebral. Why? To show him what I'm made of. And then the spirit caught me. I said, what did I do? I call him young man. That young man is a derogatory word. I know what it means when I use it for him. It means, who are you? How dare you? What do you know? Shut up, young man. Am I your mate? And everything you can gather there. I never knew that I still have pride again. I thought I have dealt with it. So when that spontaneous outburst came out, even I was taken aback because I frowned and I looked at him and I went into my theory to put him down. But I lost sleep for 3 days. I woke mommy up very early. I said, mommy, I'm not sleeping. Say what? I said, young man issue. May you be so close to the Holy Spirit that your sensitivity in the spirit living here will be so high that even when you look wrongly, the Holy Ghost will tell you. When you walk wrongly, the Holy Ghost will tell you. When you act wrongly, the Holy Ghost will tell you. When you face anywhere that you are not supposed to face, the Holy Ghost will tell you. When you see yourself in the midst of people you are not supposed to be with, the Holy Ghost will move you away. Receive that grace in the name of Jesus. The second grace that you receive from here is that of acceptance. Despite my flaw, despite my background, despite what I have done with the Holy Spirit, not minding him, despite the level I am operating, when I came before Apostle, he accepted me. And I have seen this grace everywhere now. The grace of acceptance. As you leave this place, you will be acceptable to your congregation. Your town will accept you. Your family will accept you. Your generation will accept you. If you are not accepted, how can you preach the gospel? The grace for acceptance, let it go forth now. In the name of Jesus. In conclusion, I have a song. I will never, never go back to the world. Never go back to the world. Just pray for these 2 things as I pick my things. To the world anymore. If you have resolved not to go back, I will never, never go back to the world. Oh, never go back to the world. Never go back to the world anymore. As I pick my things, there's something I want to tell you. In the course of my war, I actually took a step to go back to banking. While everything fell off, I told mommy, I said, this banking. While I was thinking like that, my colleague director, at that time he was a big director in another bank, called me and said he wanted to see me. I quickly convinced mommy that I can handle the two. Is it not me? Have the capacity to do ministry and then to do banking. Quickly, I told her I'm going to handle it. Hello. I went to meet him and he offered me a regional director position instantly and said he's ready for me to have a chat with his colleagues. And quickly, they bring the paper and everything. The interview have commenced. While they were checking my CV and were chatting, one of them now look at me, say, Oga, you mean after this, you want to come back? What I heard was, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I now understand what took Peter back to fishing. If you are here and you are thinking of going back, the anointing to stay put, receive it. The anointing to stand and fight, receive it. The promise is that the gate of hell shall not prevail. despite everything the devil did to us, I am standing on an international platform. Despite everything the devil took from us, today we live more happy, we live more satisfied, we live more glorified, and I am standing with great men of the kingdom. What else am I looking for? I will never, never go back to the world, never go back to the world, never.